Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes.
Oh, The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
You know, I'm a bit of an empath.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Friday, January 13th, which means this is This Week in Bachelor Nation.
2023.
Supposed 2023. We still don't even really acknowledge that time exists. And
you already accepted that 2023 is the only year you'll acknowledge.
Okay, you're right.
Opto 2023.
I acknowledge 2023 is real, and it's already off to a huge start. We have massive news this week. There are huge shakeups in the official Bachelor Nation podcast world. There are huge shakeups in the Bachelor peripheral podcast world with the release of Dark Lord Harrison's, the most dramatic podcast ever. We're definitely going to be talking about that in the news. But before we get to any of that, we have to mention a bit of business. I made some new media. There is a brand new program on our Patreon right now called Clues Corner. There are two episodes of it. They're each a little over an hour long. These first two episodes are videos of me live watching and reacting to the first two episodes of Dark Lord Harrison's podcast. So if you haven't listened to his podcast, if you refuse to listen to it because you don't want to give him the clicks, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us on the bottom of the pit, and you're going to get access to me watching his or listening to his podcast. And I pause it from time to time to give my thoughts and opinions on what we're listening to. But rest assured, it is an insane podcast that he put out, at least these first two episodes, for a variety of reasons.
Is it the most dramatic podcast ever?
No, almost no drama. But really, I was in disbelief as I was listening to the whole thing. And like I said, you can go to patreon.com/gameroses and you can watch this. And I think that Clues Corner is going to be something that I am doing with some regularity.
Clues Corner, I stand with Rachel Lindsay, so Clues Corner is going to be the only way that I ingest this podcast
right.
for our job so that we can do our, we're going to have our first Digging Deeper, including this podcast next week. And that one is going to be, it's going to be the most dramatic Digging Deeper ever.
I'm definitely curious to see what you think about some of these clips that we're going to pull for it, because there are some doozies in there.
I'm terrified.
I mean, again, the Bachelor podcast world, not the official Bachelor podcast nation, but the official the podcast world of The Bachelor is forever changed because of Dark Lord Harrison's entry into the fray. But yeah, like I said, I'm going to keep doing these Clues Corners. They're not all going to be reactions to podcasts and things like that. I think the next series might have to do with a one Mr. Vial's book. Don't text your ex, happy birthday.
Ooh.
I might be doing some live readings and reactings to the various chapters from that tome of wisdom.
Clues Corner has some intellectualism in it, are you saying?
I don't know about that.
It's got a bookshelf.
Yeah, it will have a bookshelf. But I mean, there are a lot of different pieces of media in the Bachelor world that I want to offer reactions to. And I think Clues Corner is going to be the place where I do that, which will be again on our Patreon. So I hope that you'll join us. And I hope that everybody who is already there and has watched the Clues Corners has enjoyed them, because they were fun to make. I have to say, as much of a maniac as I felt when I'm just sitting there, like listening to this podcast and like doing my face plays and shit, I couldn't help some of those face plays, though. I have to say, some of the shit this man said on his podcast is insane.
Look, I've gotten some of the headlines. One of them is that you have great face play in this Clues Corner.
Oh, thank you. Couldn't help it. Could not be helped. You just have to listen to it. That's all I can say.
Another is that he calls himself an empath, which I feel like is a direct attack against Dark Lord Palmer, the empathetic king. I won't stand for this. I stand with DLP.
Yeah, I mean, he calls himself an empath.
The true empathetic king.
I mean, we'll get to some of this in the news, but he does a laundry list of supporters. There's all kinds of crazy shit in this. Lauren Zima comes in to basically back him up in his non-apology. It's wild, to say the least. But we hope that you go there. Again, patreon.com/gameroses. You can check out Clues Corner. You can check out our Digging Deeper, which was great last week as well. As we're gearing up for this season 27, and all of the official Bachelor Nation podcasts are about to go back into overdrive, interviewing the people who get kicked off the show, upholding the narratives. The sauce wars are about to fucking go into their next phase. So I'm looking forward to covering all that too.
I can't wait. And there's some news that we're going to get to that is going to affect all of that. And who are the voices that through which the lens through which we'll be seeing this season on the official Bachelor Nation podcast?
Absolutely.
I cannot wait.
There's a lot in store for this upcoming season. And we are going to begin today's Twibbon by talking about the state of the game. And this is a very special state of the game. We've got two guests joining us who are massive contributors to the state of the game. The fandom, the culture surrounding our beloved game, and have been for many years. We are very excited to discuss with them everything that's going on with them and with the nation. This is
Game of Roses. State of the game.
We are so thrilled today to be joined by two mainstays in the nation's podcasting and journalism sphere whose hilarious and thoughtful insights into the experience of being deep in the fandom of our beloved game have helped define the culture over the past few years. We are humbled and honored to welcome the hosts of the Must Listen To podcast, Two Black Girls, One Rose, Natasha Scott and Justine Kay. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
Wow. What an intro. Jesus. Wow.
To that now.
Yeah.
Now, we are talking about like this segment that we always do at the beginning of our shows on Friday. We call it State of the Game. Mm-hmm. And we talk about generally kind of like, where is the fandom? Where's the show? What's going on in the producer culture? So you guys have at this point dropped one of the biggest pieces of news in the Bachelor fandom culture that you're not going to be covering season 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please tell us what that's like. Does it feel like a weight is lifted?
How is it? You're glowing.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah, it was a big, obviously a big announcement. It was a big decision.
It was a big decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've never, the past 5 years we've been doing this, we've never not covered The Bachelor while it was on.
Mm-hmm.
We've done other stuff in the off season or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that we took lightly. It was kind of course, soul searching among ourselves, like the two of us, is this something, do we actually want to cover this upcoming season?
Yeah.
But it was also just keeping an ear and a pulse on Bachelor Nation.
And our community as well in general, which I'm sure you guys are feeling the same thing. Like, our community of people is either keeping up with us to keep up with the show and not watching the show,
mm-hmm.
or leaving us as beloved creators that we were to them and an experience to them to go on and watch Love is Blind. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, just paying attention to not ignoring and continuing to do something that we always do just because we always do it, but also really listening to the community and kind of gathering insight of what's happening in Bachelor Nation and just the overwhelming lack of support, excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, we've not seen it this low and dismal for a Bachelor in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
why do you think that your community, our communities, mm-hmm. are feeling this way right now? And like, it's gotten to this point for you both.
Yeah, there's no hook. First of all, number one thing, there's no hook to this man. Even with Peter, there was the windmill.
Wait, what about the booming voice?
Oh, is that a thing?
The uncle?
Oh, his uncle.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton. You're not a Warburton head.
I'm not, though. I can't speak to that.
Yeah,
but that is it. There's no reason to follow this man's journey for love, no matter what race he is, no matter how tall he is, no matter how handsome he is, because this is not an ugly man we're talking about, and this is like, you know, Quasimodo we're talking about over here. He's a nice looking young man. But there's still no reason.
Is Zach Shallcross Quasimodo?
We still need a reason. We are at a point, especially in reality dating culture, where we need a reason to see these people fall in love, especially to be chosen as like this pinnacle Bachelor. Oh my God, I'm the Bachelor. Ugh.
You don't feel like his victimization edit?
No.
From Rachel Recchia, did it?
It wasn't nearly long enough.
Worse.
It was one episode long. We needed a way longer edit.
Well, I mean, but do you guys feel like that is a symptom of Bachelorette 19, where you had two Bachelorettes? So it necessarily meant both Bachelorettes were getting half the screen time, mm-hmm. as were all the players that season. And obviously that season had so many fucking things that were mishandled, all the way down to the Zach Shallcross blackface scandal,
mm-hmm.
just not mm-hmm. being mentioned at all.
Wait, Eric Schwartz?
I'm like, Zach too? Damn.
Eric Schwartz, sorry. They all mixed together for me.
I just rolled with it. I was like, oh, well, yeah.
I've had this problem the entire season. But like you're saying with Zach Shallcross, you got essentially mm-hmm. half the screen time that guy would have normally got. A person who made it to third place that season. And there is some mystery about why mm-hmm. Rachel Recchia changed her mind so quickly the next morning, where she's like, oh, I don't want to talk to this guy at all. There's some conjecture about maybe he said something in the fantasy suite that like rubbed her the wrong way. But I think for me personally, that is part of the reason why he's so uninteresting, is because we only got half the screen time on this guy. We don't really know who he is at all or why we should be interested.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think also, you know, we didn't get to see him in Paradise. And I feel like a lot of people have gone on to Paradise and have gained some like followers and, you know, have gained a little bit more fan favoriteness that we really didn't have much to go off with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And being just a nice guy or just a good looking guy is just not enough to hold people's attention.
No.
And I mean, you even see it in, I mean, not for nothing, like his Instagram counts are just like not up to
ridiculous
that we've seen with other bachelors or compared to people, men who have been on Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think they definitely had a I guess, a tougher decision in picking somebody, but
I don't think so. Rodney's right there.
Yeah, I don't think it was a tough decision at all.
I'm saying Rodney's right there
from Gabby and Rachel's season.
Oh, yeah, they had to. Yeah,
tougher.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
yeah.
No, they don't have to though. They've delved into the past plenty of times. They can pick anyone they want.
I mean, Peter Krause was in the talks for this season. Mm. This is my own conjecture, but I believe that's true.
Okay.
Let me ask you this though. Speaking of like Instagram and TikTok numbers and stuff like that, there's a player incoming to season 27, Victoria Jameson, who has almost a million TikTok followers and 130K plus Instagram followers. Does that interest you at all? That this is the first time it seems like the producers are really leaning in and saying, hey, we're going to get somebody who's already a giant influencer in this season.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think Katie came in with a TikTok following specifically when she went on Matt James' season.
Yeah, I think she had like, I want to say she had like 60K going in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. That was low.
Maybe 100K.
Oh, that was a lot lower than I thought she had. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't remember. I was
now,
not thinking.
It
was
I'm around questioning that. Myself.
She had over 100, I think.
Okay. Okay.
She did not have a million. Victoria Jameson has like 940,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
That to me is like, I'm ready to see how that plays out at the very least. But
yeah.
No, I mean, we get what you're saying. Like the past 2 years, I just wrote a 4,000 word article that I think will only be published on our website because I don't know who else would publish this shit. But it was basically a 4,000 word article about like the last 2 years of the show have been fucking hard to follow because of all the shit, everything that went down basically from the pandemic until now, which includes the broken season 16 of Bachelorette where Claire Crawley leaves in episode 4 because she's fallen in love with Dale Moss on his fucking Instagram account, all the way through Matt James, all the scandals that happened that season, Bachelorette 19, just like the burnout of Bachelorette 17 and 18, almost back to back in 2021. Mm-hmm. All of it has just been difficult. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying about like, fuck it, let's just like not do this anymore and move on to a show. Like we just recap Love is Blind season 3. That shit's fun. It's like shot beautifully, you know, it feels like those people for the most part are like happy and not being fucking ground down by the producers like it is on Bachelor. Yeah. But so I commend you and I congratulate you for this decision. If I may ask, though, I'm curious about this. What was that initial conversation like? Which one of you floated the idea and how did that conversation go?
I was pretty hesitant. But I saw the light though when she started talking.
Yeah, I didn't take much convincing.
It didn't.
You were both there.
And then also like it kind of felt like a no brainer too because we've covered Married at First Sight before during an off season, a Bachelor off season, and our audience was engaged. They watched Married at First Sight. I mean, if you're watching The Bachelor, you're probably watching a lot of other dating reality shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see that Married at First Sight is on around the same time, it's like, all right, we can give this a shot and it not feel as risky. And it's not that we're saying totally goodbye to Bachelor Nation. We're just going to try something new for this period and see how it goes. I think it felt like a no-brainer. As scary and as risky it could be, it was also like, all right, this makes sense for us too.
Plus, you're not fully escaping Bachelor Nation. Bachelor player who was on Married at First Sight.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He was on season one.
They're
still married.
Yeah, you can never truly escape Bachelor Nation.
It's like the Kardashians, like you.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I literally looked up. I was like, when is the last time we talked to you both? Because I was like, it feels like maybe it was like a year ago, October 2020.
Wow.
And we were discussing just like how we had been through so much. And now it's like fucking January 2023. Yeah. It's like, somehow that time has gone and we've also been through a lot in the nation.
Absolutely.
You're transitioning into Married at First Sight. Are you both still working? Are you full-time podcasting? Has podcasting gone into your being soaked in now?
We're full-time doing this.
And podcasting is all through my veins, all through my blood, all through everything. Yep.
I still run a nonprofit on the side called Dorson Community Foundation. We do like college and career readiness with inner city youth. But that's for like the love of the community and good of my heart. But this is our full-time gig.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have enjoyed podcasting. Mm-hmm. What do you like about the format?
Well, the format has changed a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Bachelor podcasts and specifically haven't changed that much, where it's pretty much only audio. We enjoy watching you guys on your Instagram and stuff and your video recaps and things like that. Mm-hmm. But podcasting as a whole has gone from video to Instagram lives to, I mean, the amount of people who have podcasts who perhaps don't need them. Very interesting.
Really interesting. Any examples?
No. And that's no shade, though. That's the thing. That's not shade. If you need to be seen visually, then you need to be seen visually. You don't need to only do audio storytelling. Mm. But part of why I think we love audio storytelling is kind of creating conversations, especially post something like The Bachelor, where it's a national conversation, and furthering it throughout the week and seeing how people are reacting and seeing what people are saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys had the same experience watching Love is Blind, but I thought it was a really good look into dating in Dallas. I'm like, who has these kinds of conversations? Yeah, totally. Like, I don't have these types of conversations. I know you all don't in LA, and I know we don't in New York about, like, do you think abortion is okay? We don't have those kind of conversations over here.
I mean, the abortion scene is like, is my favorite scene from that whole season. I was just like, my chin was on the floor the whole time. I was like, I can't believe we're watching this conversation. Yeah. Also, I don't get into a lot of, I have conversations with more Nancy's than Bartises, I think. So I was just like fascinated by the whole way. And she just handled it very elegantly, like kind of going through.
Yeah. That was like an important moment, I thought, in reality television. I thought when you were saying the abortion scene, I thought for some reason you're going to be like, the abortion scene in LA is way different. Like that there is some kind of scene. But that was not where you're going with that. No. But I agree with you. I really think Love is Blind. I'm from Dallas. We call Dallas the source on our podcast because
we
so
think
many
it's the source of Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of like very important Bachelor Nation people who come from there, like Sean Lowe, Rachel Lindsay, Chris Harrison, for example. But one thing I noticed in there for sure was all of Matt's buddies were what we wound up calling source boys, just the backwards baseball cap, kind of like down home Southern guy.
Across the street. I am not. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'd be afraid. I cannot.
Speaking of source boys, have you guys listened to Chris Harrison's new podcast?
Oh, I will never.
Have read the commentary, have listened to TikToks and all of that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've listened to it, but have not actually pressed play.
I will never press play. I stand with Rachel Lindsay, but I will listen to
Reaction. I can't wait to listen to that. I need to carve out a moment.
I definitely listen to it. It's I mean, all I can say is it's strange. I mean, it's almost to me like some bizarre artifact from Bachelor Nation where you're getting to see this guy who said all this racist shit and was involved in what I would say is the biggest scandal in the history of the show almost threatened to fucking destroy the entire franchise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you get to hear his take on what happened in that year and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's baffling that not only is he saying this shit is the number one podcast on iTunes. People are like eating it up. And I don't know if it's like predominantly people like me that have some kind of morbid curiosity about or like are involved in a job where you must cover it, or if it's people who are like, no, this guy is the one true Lord and Savior and I must listen to everything he has to say. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes too. But a lot of people have your same attitude about it for sure. That's like, I'm not fucking pressing play on this guy's podcast.
No,
I'm good.
We said on our podcast, he literally should be like the white male Z-Way. Like he should be out here interviewing everybody who's been canceled for racism and interview them on their side of the story. Like just lean in, just go full racism, like full blown.
That's a huge podcast. That is the number one podcast on iTunes forever.
You know what I'm saying? Like just go full in and be like, you hated those black people on Michael season two? Like same.
Yeah.
I think this is the soft launch for that, to be honest. Like to never say, he never says Rachel Lindsay's name. He never says anything he did was wrong, just that it was sloppy, basically.
That's crazy.
I'm like, to me, that's, you're you're targeting a certain audience who wants by to listen doing
to
that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
He's running.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So you guys, you're not covering season 27, other than maybe peripherally. Mm-hmm. Something pops off in season 27 that breaks into the general pop culture news or the reality TV news you might talk about. But what do you think is like the future of The Bachelor? Where do you see it going after this season into Bachelor at 20, into the next season of Paradise? Because there's also, we just learned, I don't know if you guys have heard about this yet, Natasha Parker is leaving Clickbait. Let me ask you actually about that first. Before we get into the future of The Bachelor, why do you think she left Clickbait? Do you think she was fired? There's no host replacement announced. She supposedly has another podcast, she said, coming out, but gave no title, no date when that's going to be released. It seemed to me like it was a little rushed.
Maybe, but she's also a Black woman, so that gives her criteria to leave. Every one of them has left so far, and usually rushed. So there's that. Also, Clickbait of the recap show.
Who's your dream replacements for Clickbait host? With grocery store Joe and who?
Is it Tia?
Bring on Serena. Bring on his wife.
She's not on
Tia
there.
Tia left too. It's just grocery store Joe sitting up there talking to himself.
Yes.
Oh,
it's just
wow.
Grocery by himself.
Okay. I think it should be Serena. Bring the wife.
It should be a couple's podcast.
That's interesting.
Interview the five.
On
the franchise. Bring them on. Something like that.
I mean, the only reason I ask in conjunction with what do you think the future of The Bachelor is because we've noticed over the past 2 years, like one of the biggest things that we kind of covered is the rise of those official Bachelor Nation podcasts, which were Happy Hour Clickbait and Talking It Out. Talking It Out is gone. Now Clickbait is down to just Grocery and Happy Hour is kind of like the only big one that's still around. And it's like those things became integral in the culture of at least the show's production of of Bachelor and the Nation to further the narratives that they would put forth in
especially
Bachelor in Paradise season 7, where it was like Brendan, Marias and Piper James are horrible pieces of shit because they even mentioned Instagram, that stuff. And so it's like that second kind of tier of upholding the narratives of Bachelor Nation seems to be falling apart a little
Rocky.
Bit.
Rocky, yeah.
Anyway, that's the only reason I bring it up. But what do you guys think is the future of this?
I mean, I think it's them trying to like continue the narrative, but also trying to like control the narrative. And I think that could be frustrating probably for someone like a Natasha who is excited by the prospect of getting to do a podcast with Bachelor, but then have to succumb to these different parameters. I don't know what her working life was like at Clickbait, but I imagine it could feel very like stifling. Just being a fellow podcaster in the Bachelor space, and like how difficult it is, or how difficult it's been for us when trying to book guests or book contestants, and like the red tape that's put up as they try to control the narrative and keep independent podcasters like us kind of out of it. So I think they got to figure that out because
you're right, it's the narrative. Natasha, as a Black woman trying to uphold the narrative that Zach should be the right person to be the Bachelor when Rodney is right the fuck there, that must be very difficult to do. And that must be really hard to just fake it till you make it. That sounds like something you can't do.
If they cast Rodney, are you back in?
It's a little late. Rodney, please. We got three women. We can set Rodney up right now.
I know.
Yeah, we can get that eliminated right here, right now, Rodney.
But no, it's a good question about like
it is
future, like where they go from here. I mean, The Bachelor has like very much leaned into not making changes in the format or anything. I mean, I think we're all kind of like talking about this girl who's like a million on TikTok. It feels so fresh and like, oh my God, there's like someone from like modern world on The Bachelor is going to make us remember 2023. But I don't know until they really, I think, open up conversations for independent podcasters until they make some type of interesting shift or something. Like they had Gabby and Rachel, that was their attempt at trying to do something a little bit different, but it was a little wonky. I don't know, I just think that there's so many more dating reality shows on TV that are doing things differently, more interesting, and with a nod to modern dating, mm-hmm. then The Bachelor is starting to feel a little bit antiquated. And
yeah,
they have to kind of solve that problem and even be invested in solving that problem.
Right.
It doesn't seem as if they are. Yeah. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying about them trying to like lock down the narrative is exactly correct. Mm-hmm. I've been coaching players to like infiltrate the game for the past couple of seasons. Yeah. One of them was a player who wound up not going into our beloved game. Mm-hmm. She went to go into Big Brother and she won Big Brother last season. Yep. And so, you know, as soon as that happened,
Taylor Hale.
We were like texting and I was like, can you come on our show and like talk about this? And she's like, yeah, of course. Yes. Here's the CBS promotions person. Just email this person. Yeah. And it was like within a week, she was on our show talking about that shit. It was unfucking real.
Yes.
Unreal. I was like, this is crazy.
Yep.
They're trying to be too controlling on the show and too controlling in the podcast world. Like you're saying, not letting the independent podcasters interview people. We are the ones who are fueling the nation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, continuing the commentary, making sure it stays in the news more than one night a week.
Yeah, exactly.
They're definitely deterring.
Yeah, they remind me of Victoria's Secret. They remind me a lot of Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret is forced to stop the fashion show because of their CEO said some wild shit. Savage X Fenty murdered them. And now they have a very, very famous supermodel, Paloma, as their spokesperson. And she's a plus size model as well. But they haven't really changed their sizing. They haven't really like shifted much of anything. There's like nobody trans up modeling for them. Like they haven't really shifted a whole lot. They just kind of tried to buy out the problem. But I say that because they were a huge player in the industry, right? Victoria's Secret. Everybody knows that's where you get underwear is Victoria's Secret. But then they kind of had these other kind of side industries. They had Adore. They had all these other like Parade, all these like little underwear companies kind of coming after them and they never acknowledged it. And The Bachelor is very similar. Like Love is Blind is happening. Too Hot to Handle is literally a show about people on Instagram dating for money. Like, this is something that's happening and going on. And for them to ignore it, what they're doing is they're not growing with their audience. Mm-hmm. Their audience is going to keep getting older and then they're not going to watch the show anymore.
Yeah. Do you think that that has anything to do with the fact that they're still on broadcast network television and they feel beholden to some kind of like what I believe specifically is an older white, predominantly Southern Midwestern audience. And they feel like we have to keep servicing them to get whatever fucking ratings still exist in network TV, which are dwindling by the day. But then maybe once it goes to streaming, which will happen, we saw it happen with Dancing with the Stars. Once it goes to streaming, do you think that will open things up for them to be able to do any kind of changes to it that might make it more contemporary?
I'm very curious if the Dancing with the Stars, how that changed going to streaming.
Me too. I would love to see.
I don't know if we ever get those numbers. Does Disney Plus put out their...
Okay. I would think The Bachelor jumped to streaming... And they're literally then, you know, pitted up against the Love is Blind and the Too Hot to Handles. They would have to kind of hang it up because everyone is watching Love is Blind.
All international.
Men and women. The Bachelor is watched by primarily white women in a specific age group. So if now you're going to jump over to streaming, you want to catch those eyeballs of the global community that Love is Blind is, they're going to have to make some changes. So that might be an exciting thing to come in the future for The Bachelor. But until then, they're very much beholden to broadcast guidelines or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the golden future... What are you looking forward to about Married at First Sight?
Oh my God.
What do you like about that
good show?
Yeah.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. I think there's just so much to talk about that because you're watching real couples that like go through a real marriage.
Yeah.
As crazy as it is, it's at first sight, it's on television, but you're seeing them deal with conflict of lifestyle, conflict of financial differences, family, like, and there's five couples. The racial diversity is has always been there on Married at First Sight. There's always at least two of the couples that are of color. And they're so, all five couples are so dynamic that each of them brings a different conversation, to talk about on our pod. For what we've seen also for in our audience, or just Married at First Sight's audience in general, is men are watching the show, couples watch the show. A lot of Black women watch the show, which is interesting. They don't watch The Bachelor, so that's
Not reluctantly. I feel like a lot of people watch The Bachelor reluctantly.
Or like guiltily.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to just the conversations that are to have, to be had, and the mess. It's still messy.
Very.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it makes for good TV still.
I think that's when they have to, it's something they have in 90 Day Fiancé too, when they have to enmesh with the families and like also convince their family of why they've done this wild life decision. It's the best television.
And someone does always win. There's always at least one couple, and usually they're of color, that win at the end. And so The Bachelor, I feel like we're all like, well, when are they going to break up? You know what I mean?
You're saying they win, like they stay together?
They stay together. Oh, yeah. No, there's no cash prize.
Like I said, I wrote a 4,000 word article on this shit. But it basically breaks down like why I think that's happening in Bachelor. One of the lines that I use in the thing is like the guilt is starting to outweigh the pleasure. Speaking of what you're talking about, like we all feel guilty now. And it's because I think the producer class has engaged in really something that started back in season 18 when they made Juan Pablo the first villain Bachelor. They now don't like their leads. And that has just brewed and gotten worse over the years as like Instagram has started making these leads giant superstars and they're making fuckloads of money. The producers don't like that because it is out of their sphere of control. And I think the producers now, it feels like they don't like anybody on the show and they are trying to make them all suffer. And that's like not fun to watch.
Right. I need somebody to root for.
Yes, exactly. Wow. There's no escapism anymore when you're watching these players try to escape the producers. It's like it's like a horror movie. Like you're rooting for them to get out of the fucking house instead of being like, I can't wait to see them go on a helicopter. You're like, don't get on the helicopter.
You both are leaving us alone with these
people. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Thank you guys for continuing on.
Yes, we are forever linked to this franchise wherever it may take us. But we cannot thank you both enough for joining us today and talking about all things Bachelor and where your podcast is headed. And we're looking very forward to seeing you know, everything that you do from here on out, as always.
Oh, thank you.
Domination of the Married at First Sight
space.
Yes. Where can people find you, your Patreon, etc.?
We're on Instagram, Two Black Girls, One Rose. And then our Patreon is patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose. And every week, still weekly.
Well, everybody be sure to check that out. And again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, and now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the SkinSafe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co. with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
We can't thank Natasha and Justine enough again for joining us for that State of the Game. Super important. Definitely go check out all of their stuff across social media, on their Patreon, listen to their podcast wherever you can. And now it is time for Pace Case and I to discuss what we're watching. This is
What Are You Watching?
What are you watching? Mine has escalated from last week. You know, I was on Narcos season one. Now I'm on Narcos season three.
What the fuck? You consumed two seasons of it in a week? How many episodes are in a season?
Look, I'm going full Pedro Pascal in preparation for The Last of Us. What did you say?
I said, how many episodes are in a season? You just blew past it. I'm like, oh, fuck. There's like 30 episodes in a season.
God, I don't even know. I just take whatever they give me. 11, I want to say. Very good. Very, very exciting. I've also graduated to Siesta Key season four.
Oh, congratulations.
Which is an MTV show I'm watching on YouTube TV. Narcos I'm watching on Netflix. And I've also added into my repertoire Bravo's Southern Hospitality. I was told it was It was giving like early Vanderpump Rules. Mm. And I will say I am very, very excited by the 3.5 episodes I've watched.
It's like Vanderpump Rules.
It's giving Vanderpump behavior.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of stuff. I have not watched that much stuff. I've been busy in Clue's Corner. But what I did watch was the conclusion of White Lotus season two. And I also watched a little bit of the Golden Globes, just some clips. I didn't watch the whole episode or the whole show. No one did. The ratings were down, as they always are.
No one did.
but I did watch Jennifer Coolidge's acceptance speech at the Golden Globes and Mike White's acceptance speech. That Jennifer Coolidge acceptance speech was so fucking good because she talked about how, I mean, she's very funny, first of all. I might have to do my impersonation of her. But she goes, she's talking about how, you know, since American Pie, basically, there have been five guys that have kind of kept her alive in Hollywood with these small jobs. And she did this joke where she's like, there have been five guys who've kept me alive out here in Hollywood. It's like you, Ryan Murphy. It's really just you, Ryan. And I thought that was hilarious. Like she set up that there were like these five producers who were.
There's five.
Yeah, but it was really just Ryan Murphy.
My favorite interview answer she gave lately.
What would it be? The ultimate dream role for you now. What would be, if you anything you could happen, what would it be?
I've always wanted to play a dolphin.
I saw this on TikTok. It is an Access Hollywood interview. I died. I've watched it a million times. She's so fucking funny.
Well, she comes from Groundlings. Like her background is comedy, you know, and I know that, you know, White Lotus has definitely comedic moments and she's very funny in it, but like, that's not really a comedy, that show.
I mean, all of her bits are pure comedy. I think it's not a spoiler, but she is riding on a Vespa at some point and it's just like bodily humor. She pretends that like a fly flew in her mouth or something and she's trying to get it. And I fucking pissed my pants. It is so perfect. It's exactly what you want to see Jennifer Coolidge do in Italy, is White Lotus season two.
And the thing that she said in this acceptance speech where she's talking about how she's just been kind of subsisting on these small roles given to her by a few producers in Hollywood since American Pie, until Mike White gives her this obviously like career life-changing role. And at her age, to have been out here for this long.
What about Legally Blonde?
She didn't win any awards for Legally Blonde. And that's a one-time job. You get paid, goodbye, good riddance. This is something completely different. This will change the course of her career. She's going to be, I'm assuming, like in Oscar movies and shit now. She might get to play a Marvel villain or be in Star Wars or something. I could see some shit like that happen, you know?
Oh my God. I want the Jennifer Coolidge Marvel superhero. She's a superhero.
I can see her being something. She's going to be in those movies. She's getting those offers now as we sit here. But that idea that there are so many talented actors out here that have like one thing that they can kind of then string together like a working career off of for decades, but never have that big break. Here she's got it after she's been doing this for however decades, literally, you know. When did American Pie come out? In the 90s, I think. It's just like, I don't know. Every once in a while, a story like this kind of breaks out. Not that this is even a second chance for her like it was for Mickey Rourke when he did The Wrestler. This is like a first chance almost. And it's great to see because she is so fucking talented.
Yeah.
I would watch her do anything.
Literally. Oh my God. There's so many. I don't want to spoil any of it. If you haven't watched White Lotus season two, go do it now. And then go listen to HBO Lax pod, our breakdowns of it. But it's a great season of television. I'm glad you got through it, Clues.
I did. And again, I can't give out spoilers. I don't want to give out spoilers. It's still kind of a fresh show. Mistakes were made. That's all I'll say. I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's a pretty good show. Mistakes were made. Beautiful show. Visually beautiful. There's not really anything like that on TV. There's a lot of thought put into everything. All of the you know, stage decorations and things of this nature, the costumes, like it's really, really well made. In the writing, though, mistakes were made.
I wonder when we can have this debate publicly.
We'll have to wait.
I want to.
I have to have 100% certainty that anyone listening to this would not be spoiled or at least would not care if they were. And I don't know that we'll ever be able to have that information. So
a Clues Corner or a Pace Case Palapa.
Pace Case Palapa.
Clues Corner, Pace Case Palapa. Clues Corner, Pace Case Palapa. Clues Corner, Pace Case Palapa.
What can we expect of the Pace Case Palapa?
Time will tell.
Time will tell. So let's move on now to that portion of our program in which we discuss all those tids.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, The Dark Lord hath returned. On Sunday of this week, the disgraced former host of our beloved game, Chris Harrison, released the first two episodes of his new podcast, The Most Dramatic Podcast Ever. Harrison explained that the iHeartRadio podcast will ultimately be an exploration of relationships, although the first two episodes were used to give himself a platform to explain his feelings on the racism scandal that cost him his job during the airing of Bachelor Season 25. Harrison issued no apology for the content of his comments to Rachel Lindsay in the now infamous Extra interview, but instead chose to pin the blame for the fallout after the interview on what he called a sloppy delivery of his message. The original Dark Lord also made sure to list by name a group of players who offered messages of support during what he described as one of the most difficult times in his life. The list included names like Source Boy Sean Lowe, Real Millionaire Andrew Firestone, the unlovable Ben Higgins, and even players of color like Eric Bigger and Mike Johnson.
I like my drinks like I like my lords. Dark and sloppy.
Okay. That's some palapa talk right there.
More of that in Pace Case's Palapa. The second episode of Harrison's new podcast featured an appearance from his fiance Lauren Zima, who shared her feelings on quitting a job she loved in her Bachelor coverage for Entertainment Tonight in order to support Harrison.
Although there is controversy within the nation surrounding Harrison's lack of an apology for his prior racist comments, The Most Dramatic Podcast Ever is currently the number one podcast across all categories on iTunes. It is a massive success. We will certainly be covering some of the most important clips from these first two episodes in our next Digging Deeper, which will be out on January 23rd. But if you can't wait until then, as I said up top, I have released the first two episodes of my new series, Clues Corner, on the Game of Roses Patreon, which are live video reactions as I'm listening to everything he said in this. Now, Pace Case, we had some conjecture about the success of this podcast, who's going to be listening. It's the number one podcast on iTunes. Is that astounding to you anyways? Is that surprising?
It's not surprising to me, Clues. I'll be real with you.
No shit.
The launched episodes of a podcast are going to be your number one chance to get up there in the charts. And, you know, he has a huge following. I think people are curious.
Here's who he's on top of right now. The number two podcast overall is The Catechism in a Year with Friar Mike Schmitz. Sorry. This same guy did one that's like the Bible in a year. This is the Catechism in a year. So he's just like reading. He's a priest that's reading religious texts. And you can just kind of like read along. The number three podcast is The Daily from New York Times. Then Dateline NBC. Then Suspect. I don't know what Huberman Lab is. That's number six. Then that same guy has the Bible in a year. Friar Mike Schmitz. Crime Junkie. The Bible Recap. And then number 10 is Smartless. Number 11 is Morbid. So he's on top of all of this shit.
Okay, so if all the top podcasts are Christian, it doesn't shock me. I feel like it's, I mean, I don't know.
I retract my surprise.
What's going on in the forums? I think people are curious. I, as I said, Stand With Rachel Lindsay will only watch this through Clues Corner. my first Pace Case Palapa is me watching Clues Corner.
And then I have to do a Clues Corner watching me. Yeah. We just keep going until we're dead.
No, I'm curious to see if he actually is going to pivot to relationship topics.
Yeah, we'll see.
And where these numbers will go.
It's interesting to me, too, that like iHeartRadio is signing on to this. Generally speaking, scandals of this nature make a person untouchable by corporations. That is not the case here. iHeartRadio is a massive media company. And they're just like, fuck it. If there's money to be made, we're making it. We don't care how we make it. That's kind of an interesting thing to me.
But I mean, who are their other podcasters? I bet they have people like him.
People like him in terms of scandal?
Similar audience.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It just says like this pod. Like, I don't think iHeartRadio would have made this podcast back when all this shit was happening.
No, I think there's definitely been discussions of like, how long do we wait for whatever? Will people still remember me looking up while talking to Michael Strahan?
Yeah,
I remember.
Exactly. All of that. Well, of course. But the fact that he doesn't really apologize for any of that, and iHeartRadio has obviously heard these episodes before they come out, and they're like, yep, this is what we're going to go with. That's a major corporation, essentially, in my opinion, standing by a guy who is not apologizing for a huge appearance on a interview where he was racist, like openly racist, to a degree that almost took down The Bachelor. Anyway, we'll see what happens with it. But that is the first piece of news in Bachelor Nation news.
Speaking of Bachelor Nation podcasts, protected player Natasha Parker is in the news this week because she's leaving Clickbait. As we discussed with Justina and Natasha up top, Parker announced her departure in this week's Clickbait episode, citing her desire to keep podcasting, just not in the nation. Parker confessed that there have been some changes in the nation that have made it hard for her to continue her coverage, and she hopes to move on to doing her own podcast that will cover topics of personal interest to her, like manifestation and positivity.
Parker did not mention the title of her new podcast or when it might be available, nor was her replacement announced or even alluded to. As it stands currently, there is only one Clickbait host left standing in the greatest Night One player of all time, Grocery Store Joe.
Will anyone defeat him?
I think he's going to be there till he dies.
He's the perma-host. The lack of information surrounding the future of Parker's podcasting career and the future of the Clickbait lineup has led some to speculate on the nature of her departure being less than amicable.
We don't know who will replace Parker, but we are hopeful that perhaps next week we will find out. And of course, we wish Parker luck as she navigates the seas of Bachelor Nation podcasts in a ship all her own. Very curious to see the fallout from this, too. And that...
And the replacement host.
Who will be the replacement host? Or will it only be one other host? Will it be three new hosts? Will it be 10 new hosts? We have no idea.
Kuz and I have already spent a lot of time theorizing about who it could be.
I'm dreaming about it now.
My manifestation powers are all going to Maddie and Trizzy being the second and third. Yeah.
What about Brandon Morais and Piper James?
That's also the dream rotation.
Those are the two best Clickbait casts you could have. If you're listening right now, Clickbait producers, get Trizzy, get Maddie. You're going to have to pay them through the nose because money's all that matters to them. Or you're going to have to give them some kind of Christian platform, I think. That would also work. Or you get Brennan and you get Piper and you let them talk about whatever they want. No filter, no governor on what they got to say, not having to uphold any Bachelor Nation narratives. You let them talk freely. That's a huge podcast.
Speaking of huge parasocial powerhouses, next up in Bachelor Nation news, the Beast is back. Hannah Brown made her triumphant return to television this week on one of ABC's rival networks, Fox, to appear on a show called Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. The LA icon joined 15 other reality stars in the Jordanian desert, where they trained with a special forces team. In the first episode, Brown and her co-stars jumped out of a helicopter, ran through an obstacle course, and walked across a wire stretched out over a 300-foot canyon. Child's play for the Beast, who dominated her opponents in open combat and ate bugs on season 23 of The Bachelor. Yeah, not eating piss.
No, they didn't drink piss in that one. That was a joke. That guy told them you had to drink piss.
Someone was going to do it.
Yeah, but it wasn't really piss. If they would have actually drank piss on season 23, God damn, that would have been epic. Brown was joined by celebrities like Mel B, Jamie Lynn Spears, Beverly Mitchell, Gus Kenworthy, Dwight Howard. And in the first episode, Kate Gosselin, Dr. Drew, Montel Jordan, and Tyler Florence were all medically withdrawn or outright quit because of the circumstances. But congrats to the Beast on her triumphant return to the small screen. We look forward to seeing how long she can last on this season of Special Forces, World's Toughest Test.
She'll be the only one to not IFA all season. That's my prediction.
All right, could be.
Next up in Bachelor Nation news, Clues' great one, Nick Viall, proved once again that he is ever relevant in the nation when the Dark Lord called him out by name in his new podcast. In a woe-is-me-style complaint that players and leads alike have been gunning for his job as host since the very beginning of the franchise, the Dark Lord named Viall as one of the players who, quote, saw blood in the water when he expressed his racist views to Rachel Lindsay in 2021.
Vial took to his own platform on the Vial Files to issue his rebuttal, saying, "So he said I was gunning for a job. He didn't list me as one of the people who reached out." Vial noted he was really disappointed to hear what Harrison had to say about him. "I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed," he continued. "I think Chris should take more accountability for what he did. And again, I've never been like Chris's bestie. I'm just disappointed. I'm pretty sure Sean Lowe would have taken the job if he was offered it."
Wow, I can't believe you're able to cut those clips so tightly. Well, I mean, we may never know fully if the Great One made behind-the-scenes moves to put himself in the conversation to become the next Dark Lord. It certainly seems within the scope of possibility. But congratulations go out to the Great One, who once again proves he is always relevant and foremost in the minds of everyone in the nation, including the host of the number one podcast on iTunes.
Is this the first time that anyone from Bachelor Nation has been mentioned in the number one podcast on iTunes?
Well, Rachel Lindsay wasn't, so.
And finally, in Bachelor Nation news, a few things to mention in the relationship roundup. Michelle Money got engaged to her longtime partner, golfer Mike Weir. And sadly, we must report that Superstar Season 21 LA icon Corinne Olympios has broken up with her boyfriend, Jerry Morris, after only a year together. Condolences to Corinne.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And now, let's move on to that portion of our program where we discuss all the plays our favorite players are making off the field, on their telephones, in those TikToks, in those Instagrams, in that metaverse, on their Facebook pages, on their MySpace pages, AOL Instant Messenger. This is
the parasocial play of the week. Face player extraordinaire Jill Chin decided to finally reveal whether or not she has been coached by Bachelor Clues. In an Instagram Q&A in response to the question, "Were you coached by Bachelor Clues?" she responded with an image of her engaging in her characteristic tear play with the word response, "Probably would have made it a lot further if I was," head melting emoji.
Does this mean that she wasn't coached by Bachelor Clues, or is this all part of an elaborate ruse to throw people off the truth? We may never know.
Magical clues will not confirm or deny. Breaking news.
Former Crown and Clickbait co-host Tayshia Adams teases a new relationship in a TikTok. She closes a laptop under the caption, "When the new guy I'm seeing asks about my relationship history," to the sound, "I think I explained it would give us both an aneurysm." The video has 77.7K views.
We have a new season upon us, the season of Mr. 4TRR, Zach Shawcross, season 27. And with that wonderful time of year comes a new crop of rookies trying to launch themselves into parasocial legend status via parasocial plays. And as we're fully entrenched in the professional era, we're already off to a hot, hot start. One season 27 rookie, Sonia Sharma, made light of her ending a 10-year relationship and then ending up on The Bachelor via TikTok. In the video, she cheers as a martini under the caption, "Who's that girl who ended a 10-year relationship and ended up on The Bachelor?" At this point, she points at herself, dons sunglasses, and sips from the martini. The caption reads, "All jokes, flat smile emoji, rose emoji, hashtag Bachelor Nation." It's simple. On TikTok trends and teases at a heartbreak PTC. No notes.
Ooh. We've got a live one. Season 27 isn't even out. And one rookie is doing parasocial plays that are getting written about in Us Weekly. Last week, we covered rookie Victoria Jameson, a.k.a. at Victoria, when she announced her divorce parasocially via TikTok of her Bachelor casting photo. We've never seen anything like her coming into the game, a player already with almost 1 million TikTok followers. This week, at Victoria continued pumping out strong content, including a TikTok of her whole family reacting to her telling them she's going on the next season of The Bachelor. Our runner-up parasocial play of the week goes to at Victoria for her other fantastic play, in which she dances to the TikTok trend of rolling around on the floor of Target underneath the caption, "When he's 6'4 and literally has 30 girlfriends." The video has 6.4K views and 412 likes.
How did she get the TikTok handle, Victoria?
I don't know, but what you've written here about, we've never seen anything like her coming into the game, is accurate. She is so dominant parasocially over all the other players. We're starting to look now at like Instagram numbers and things like that in preparation for next week. When on Tuesday, we're going to have our deep dive into all of the rookies' parasocial play, all their parasocial accounts, their Instagrams or TikToks.
She's a lead on Instagram and TikTok.
Lead on Instagram and TikTok, has 100, I believe around 130K Instagram followers, 121. And she's got 900 and some TikTok, 900 some K.
970.
970,000 TikToks. We've never seen anything like this. Is this an indication the producers are maybe loosening up their stranglehold on, you know, how they view social media? This is a legit influencer coming into the game now.
Is this the ultimate 4TRR, though? Because she doesn't need to get followers.
I mean, time will tell. We have no idea how they're going to treat her, cut her. What are the narratives? We have no idea. But this is a first, definitely in the history of the game, to have somebody with this much parasocial power coming in on night one.
Well, all of these were strong plays. However, there can only be one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to the GOAT herself, Caitlin Bristow. In an Instagram Live this week, she responded to a fan's question, "Do you listen to Game of Roses?" She says she should, but "I can't let Bachelor World take over my life, but I love them, the people who run it, incredible humans." Thank you to the GOAT for this insanely beautiful, stunning parasocial play. Both demonstrating healthy Bachelor Nation boundaries and a reverence for the pit. We also think you're an incredible human, and congratulations on this award. Add it to the shelf with your Mirror Ball trophy.
It is always a strange experience, still for me, to see players of this level mentioning our podcast, us in any way, and to see it done so eloquently and so nicely, really. I mean, this, it's a very nice comment she's made here about us. I'm stunned by it, to be honest.
Yeah, truly stunned. Thank you, Jason Tardik, for maybe putting in a good word. Gore girl, Jason Tardik.
And now it's time to move on to those parasocial plays made by the non-humans within the nation. We have a couple to mention here. Nashville slider Jason Tardik wasn't happy when a very bold skunk decided to spray his stuff all over multiple parasocial Creature of the Week winners Pino and Ramen early in the morning. our condolences to Pino, Ramen, and the entire Tardik Bristow family for having to deal with what I am sure is not a fun situation. And our parasocial creature of the week this week, though, is Trip, Peter Weber's beloved dog. Unfortunately, he passed away this week, and Peter has put together a stunning tribute to him with a caption that reads, "Trippy, having you by my side for the last 18 and a half years has been the most precious gift of my life. The memories I have with you will be something I'll cherish in my heart every day till I get to see you again, Bubba. The story of a boy and his dog is one of the greatest stories out there, and I'm so incredibly lucky to have had my story with you. I promise you'll live on through me forever. I love you, Trip." Heart emoji. Congratulations and condolences go out to Trip and Peter Weber on this posthumous creature of the week.
Clues. I thought we weren't reading dog memorials anymore.
Don't we have to? Aren't we obligated to? I mean, Trip was an important part of Bachelor Nation. He had a lot of parasocial play.
I can't not cry.
Well, that's okay. You can feel the emotion. Take it in. Remember Trip one last time and wish him well in his journeys in the great beyond. We'll see him in the astral plane. And moving on, now it is time for Pace Case and I to drop straight to the bottom of the pit, where we will issue forth our screams about how our fandom of our beloved game has really drastically changed our lives forever. We will never be the same. This is
Screams from the pit.
I scream this week is related to my "What are you watching?"
Specifically
Siesta Key, what I think of as the Laguna Beach of Florida with much more physical violence.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a level of violence that they get away with that I am confused how they have gotten away with, but it's very entertaining.
Like fist fights and shit?
There's been some punches, a slap.
Okay.
I don't want to give anything away. No spoilers for Siesta Key. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Bad Girls Club season 1?
No. By the way, you watched the first season and that has a punch in it.
Does it? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch Bad Girls Club season 1. There's a character on that one called Ripsy who's very entertaining.
Well, my scream is related to, I believe, the season 3 reunion. You know, I'm watching Siesta Key as my completely like puff piece, like light as a feather show I just put on at the end of the night, kind of relax. And we get to the reunion. I'm very excited. I don't think they had done a reunion before that season. Mm-hmm. Guess who is fucking hosting it? Rachel Lindsay.
Oh, wow. No shit.
Yes. She hosted the reunion.
Well, didn't she have an MTV show for a minute?
Maybe.
I think she did. So she's plugged into the MTV family, maybe. That's how she's getting in there.
I guess so. It seemed like a weird pairing to me.
Yep. I wouldn't associate Rachel Lindsay with Siesta Key necessarily on any planet in our solar system.
No, but she got into it with the people and caused like a walk-off, which you want that in your reunion. She did a very good job, but it was just so funny to me to be like watching my piece of media that I feel is, okay, there was a Bachelor person who was on an earlier season, but I feel like it's removed from Bachelor Nation. And then to see Rachel Lindsay hosting the reunion blew my mind.
That is pretty mind-blowing, but congrats to Rachel Lindsay on expanding her empire even further. Now she touches Siesta Key. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. My scream this week begins with this statement. Every day I wake up with a smile on my face. I know up top we discuss with Two Black Girls, One Rose, that it's been hard to watch these past seasons, that they finally have decided they're not going to cover season 27, disinterest in Zach Shawcross, all these things. I know we discuss these things. But I'm waking up with a smile on my face because I'm thinking about what's going to happen in season 27. I have never been more excited for a season of our beloved game because this season is going to change the game forever, specifically because of our influence, I will say. And I know when we first started this podcast, part of why we wanted to do it is to see if we could influence the game. Could we get someone in the game? Could we have them play the game like a game? Could it be a sport?
Get our terminology into it.
Get our terminology into it. All of that. And all I can say, I can't say more than this. Season 27 is, I believe, the biggest impact we will have on the game yet. And I feel like that is only going to keep continuing in the successive seasons. Can't say any more about that either, but I have reason to believe that will be the case. But season 27 certainly is going to be...
Teasing that tea cellar.
My tea cellar is growing. Ding, ding. You know, and at a certain point, I'll be able to reveal all of the tea that is associated with these things that I'm saying now. But rest assured, I personally, my scream is...
You're like, it'll all be written on my gravestone.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have to show up to my tombstone, although I am getting frozen, so I'll be dunked in a vat of liquid nitrogen buried somewhere outside of Tucson, Arizona.
Show up to my frozen body.
Show up to my frozen body. Knock on the door of Alcor. Excuse me, I need to see his freezing tank. No, none of that. I mean, that is true, but please don't come to my freezing tank seeking answers. You'll find none.
That's just written on the tank. I know you come here seeking answers. There are none.
What I'm saying is there have been moments in our coverage of this game, in doing Game of Roses, even prior to that, there have been moments where I had like huge swells of excitement about the upcoming season or an upcoming episode or whatever. I've never felt anything quite like this. It is at another level where I am giddy. That's almost great. Every day, just waiting to see night one, waiting to see how certain things are going to be presented in the document. I can't wait. I literally cannot wait for this. And I'm so excited that it's right fucking around the corner. This is like, it's just bigger than any sport that I've ever been excited to see. It's bigger than any holiday, any birthday.
By a lot.
Yes, by a lot. And I've gone to some interesting sporting events in my lifetime. When I was like really big into UFC and mixed martial arts, I would go to a bunch of UFCs, like two or three a year probably. And some of them, like UFC 100 in Vegas, that was Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin. Sorry, I know I'm losing a lot of people here, but that one was gigantic for me. I couldn't wait to see it. This shit blows it out of the water. Season 27 is like UFC 100 times a million. Do the math.
You do the math.
Anyway, that's my scream.
Well, I'm happy that Opto 2023 is going well.
Thank you.
Doesn't seem like there could be any negative consequences as a byproduct of it. So
no, not at all. And now we're going to move on. We're going to play you a scream from someone named A.T. Gabby. If you want to submit your screams to us to be played here on This Week in Bachelor Nation, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. You get access to our Discord where you can record and upload a 1 minute or less audio file. And we play the best ones here and analyze them for just how deep in the pit these screams are. So here we go again. This is from A.T. Gabby.
Hello, Pit. During the recent holiday season, I took a trip to Florida with my family. And one day we were getting drinks at this kind of a big, like outside beer garden type place. And I see a very cute creature sporting a bandana right by us. I head over because I have to pet this adorable creature. And on approach, a dog tag flashes in my direction. And my sister in Christ, my heart stopped when I saw that this tag said Rambo. I, of course, asked to pet the six-figure pup, and he was super nice and friendly. I'm really excited. Hayden was nice, too. I did admit that I recognized him and Rambo, but we didn't really talk too much other than that. And then I had to go back to my family and explain that I just met a celebrity who's possibly the most referenced and talked about creature ever to grace the document. So for strutting his stuff on the piers of Tampa while looking so cute in his dog bandana and getting lots of non-creatures to come up and pet him, Rambo Markowitz is mine. Creature of the week.
Your face.
I don't even know what to
Your
say.
Face play at that.
I don't even know what to say to this.
This is a historical first.
It's too many things. It's too many things for me to even understand. A. A.T. Gabby.
The sound effect.
Met. Well, okay, fine. Let's go backwards in.
For me, that's number one. I'm like, this the created sound effect.
A.T. Gabby
crying
created her own Creature of the Week sound effect, which was beautiful, expertly done, technically flawless. She also met Rambo Markowitz, who at this point is immortal. I mean, weren't we led to believe that Rambo was enduring some kind of medical condition that made it very likely he would not have seen any more days of his life up to this point? And yet here he is, apparently thriving on the docks of Tampa. And A.T. Gabby got to meet Hayden Markowitz, who was nice to her. This is, I don't really know how to rate this scream. Again, because there's so many parts of it. A, it's not like, at its face, it's not that screamy. It's not really about how your fandom of the show is taking over your life. It's just like, oh, I ran into a Bachelor player.
No, the presentation is showing how it's taking over the life.
Yes, the presentation is the scream. It was the strutting of stuff.
Story, my sister in Christ. There were all of these layers.
Yes, it's the presentation. And in that version of the, or that piece of the scream, I should say, then enhances the meeting. It enhances the story because a regular person, even a casual fan, somebody not in the pit who sees Rambo and Hayden Markowitz might get a selfie, might be like, oh shit, that guy was on The Bachelor. Oh, he's got a cute dog. You might not even remember the PTC about Rambo. You know, everything was mined here. You know, this experience of meeting Rambo and Hayden Markowitz by A.T. Gabby couldn't be in any other way, by any other person, couldn't be appreciated as much.
And it's cinematic, like real, like seeing the dog tag first and then coming to the realization.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was great. A perfect telling, a perfect use of sound effects and all of this. Thank you so much, A.T. Gabby, for this. Thank you. It was hilarious, heartwarming, and humbling. So once again, if you want to submit your own screams, you want to try to compete with A.T. Gabby's scream here, the bar hath been raised. Let that be known. Yeah. You can, again, go to patreon.com/gameofroses and get on our Discord and send us a 1 minute or less audio file. And again, you got to compete with this now. Sorry to everybody else in the pit.
Sorry.
This was fantastic.
It happened. Professional era.
But that is it. That wraps up This Week in Bachelor Nation. We hope you have enjoyed it. And thanks again to Two Black Girls, One Rose for joining us in the State of the Game and discussing their decision to not cover Bachelor Season 27 and their decision to move on into Married at First Sight and other reality television shows being covered. We can't thank them enough. And before we go, as always, what is that dwabat?
It's been 7,599 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then